I mostly just want to say, as cheesy as it is, don't let stigmas interrupt the way you choose your major. If there's something you're studying that you're passionate about and you love to learn about, like, that's what you should be studying.
Hello, people of UW and other applicable audience members. This is Dog Tales, and I'm your host, Billy Featherston. So that quote that just played was a piece of one of the interviews you'll hear in today's episode, and I just really liked it because it sort of encompasses what the whole point of today's episode is, which is on STEM and non-STEM majors. And I'm trying to phrase this wording with "and" as opposed to the word, you know, like "versus" as much as I can, because what I've come to discover through these interviews as well as just my time as a student here is that, you know, majors are just another one of the ways which we divide and categorize people, like, unnecessarily. And obviously it makes sense and is useful to group like people together, but I'm talking about, like, outside of classes. Just at this university, and I'm sure in other institutions across the country, I guess this is kind of prevalent everywhere, you know, even in other countries, people tend to form stereotypes of the certain majors or fields, STEM being, you know, maybe smarter, more motivated, more competitive types, and the rest, like humanities and arts, probably the most, as maybe easier or less secure in terms of workload and jobs. So today I wanted to talk to students and faculty about just their opinions on this whole divide between STEM and non-STEM, which, by the way, if you weren't aware, I should mention that STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. But yes, so we're looking at their opinions, plus their experiences and the programs here, and just how this whole cultural phenomenon, you know, affects them or resonates with them. So yeah, let's get into these interviews. First, we have Ari.
Okay, so then just kind of tell me what you like about the philosophy program and what you like about pre-med and all those STEM-type classes, and then I guess the differences between the two. I just really want to get a sense of, like, what the programs are all about.
Yeah. I really like the philosophy program. I think it's super homey for such a big university. Like, I walked in, I said, "Hey, could I declare philosophy as my major?" And, like, everyone in their offices started clapping. It was super nice. Yeah.
So wait, that's all you had to do?
It was super nice. And they were all like, "Hell yeah, you know, yeah, come on in."
Nice.
All the classes are super, super small, and usually with grad students too, and you just talk about the most mind-blowing stuff. And then the teachers, I think every teacher I've had has been great. I mean, the philosophy of logic class isn't like that because I think everyone in computer science has to take it. So it's another one of those big lectures. So it's not as... Okay. But that's the one you have to take first, but the rest of them are great.
Okay.
Yeah, I just have loved every single teacher in philosophy.
And why is that?
They're just so cool. I mean, one of them I had used to be a comedian. And he would just come into class and just riff about Socrates, and it was so funny.
That's super cool.
It was just so entertaining. And then he'd be super pragmatic about stuff. He'd be like, "Yeah, I don't really get why I'm grading you, because philosophically it makes no sense if you really want to learn. And I'm also doing philosophy of education, so we're just going to, you know, screw that for a while. We're worried about the grade at the end."
Cool. Nice.
He basically was just like, "If you're interested, that's good enough for me." Because some people just didn't come. I was like, "Well, why? Why take the class? He's hilarious.
Right.
This is the best class you're ever going to get at UW."
So do you feel like those professors are kind of people you would see yourself hanging out with? Like,
oh, yeah.
Just homies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are really old, but, like, most of them are pretty cool.
Okay, cool. Same.
And then the thing, I mean, the STEM side of things is, it's all weed out classes, I guess, for especially the pre-med side. It's just, and I'm sure everyone else who's pre-med is like, a lot of weed out classes. And I think that the main difference I find between STEM and philosophy is that if I decided to pursue philosophy, I would succeed because of the philosophy classes I took, because of the connections I made in philosophy. While through pre-med or STEM, I mean, we'll see about the neuroscience major, we'll see about biology, but just through the weed out classes, if I succeed, it will be in spite of those classes, yeah. not because of those classes.
Okay.
Those classes teach you, like, I think the difference between philosophy and STEM is STEM teaches you resilience, how to deal with failure. Well, it does. Yeah. I mean, you're in these yeah. classes of, like, 1,200 people, and, right. you know, like, they set the curve to a 2.6, and so... Yeah. That's a lot of people that, and like you have to get a 1.7 to take the next class or something.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people that don't get yeah. to take it, which is also a wild concept that you get to pay money to fail. But just philosophically,
that's
weird.
Another episode.
Yeah. but so it's like those weed out classes just teach you how to like manage your time, how to like deal with bad grades, how to deal with, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, philosophy, I love philosophy, but it taught me how to write. STEM didn't teach me how to write, like even a little bit. Like,
writing's an important skill. Yeah. I'm biased a little bit, but yeah. yes.
Like, what is that stupid SpongeBob meme where it's like SpongeBob lightly blowing a bubble out and he's like trying the best he can and the bubble won't blow out? Doesn't matter. But that's okay. what it's like for STEM people to write papers where it's like okay. they'll try their hardest and can't do it. Because that's what yeah. I was like before I did philosophy. And then now, you know, you can just crank out like 10, 15 pages because that's all you do in those classes.
Okay, yeah. Or
I appreciate... them.
Or you enjoy them.
I appreciate them in different ways. Like okay. philosophy would not have taught me how to like manage my time as okay. well. Just because, yeah. like, you know, it's not like you have a quiz every single morning, due at 8 a.m. or a reading quiz or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Philosophy, it's like you have 1, 2, maybe 3 papers due the quarter, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah. You just have to understand what's going on, and that's about it. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. and they're pretty straightforward with what you need to know.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like both. Kant said this and Hume said this. Write your opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
STEM is like, I don't know, here's like, a good example is physics. Like, for physics, you know, it's like, we're going to test you on these 3 chapters and basically we're just going to pull out, you know, a couple questions from any of those practice problems that we didn't tell you to do, but they're there,
mm-hmm.
and then test you on them.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more, know everything and know it like that because you
right.
have to.
I know.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It
I'm
is.
I'm not one of those people. I'm more the write your opinion on things, and you have all quarter to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, I really appreciate that, because I think that a lot of the times philosophy has helped me put my suffering into context.
You kind of already sort of hinted at this, but what do you notice about the classmates between the programs? Like, how do they... act and treat each other?
I think it definitely depends on the class, because I've had a couple STEM classes where like everyone's super friendly, but that again, that's the honors, like O-Chem lab, like not the big ass lecture halls.
Yeah,
because you know, in the like in physics, super competitive, nobody talks to anybody except, you know, anyone you go up next to, because
yeah.
helping somebody, like let's say you're above the curve,
right,
and you help someone below the curve,
yeah,
you know, you've shot yourself in the foot a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, that's so sad.
And, yeah, and then they're like, our doctors and, you know, researchers aren't collaborative. Why? Well, it's like, this is why. You make
yeah.
us hate each other.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible.
The main difference between STEM and non-STEM, in my opinion, is that non-STEM teaches you how to live, and STEM teaches you
how to feel like
you're... I really honestly don't know what it's taught me.
Yeah.
It's all I've learned from it has not been because of it, you know? You know what? Non-STEM teaches you how to live life, and STEM teaches you how to overcome adversity.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
You know, actually, this is the worst thing about STEM majors, is that whenever they talk to you, it's always just comparing their dick size. They're just like, I'm taking this class and I'm gonna go to this med school, like
yeah.
here, I've already taken the MCAT and I've done this, and like I've already talked to, and it's like, dude, just shut up. So like when people ask me what I want to do, it's always like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to just be like...
That's the main difference between STEM and non-STEM. In non-STEM, you just talk about your feelings.
Yeah.
And in STEM, you're literally trying to one-up everyone.
Yes.
And flaunt your dick around.
Oh, yeah.
That's about it.
Helicopter it around, be like, I'm going to med school. So, I mean, and then also, like, I'm... the other thing is that, like, people could say that I'm just also comparing my dick because I'm like, oh, look, I'm better than all these other people who are are comparing dick sizes. So it's like, I, you know, I'm at a loss. No matter what
right,
I say,
right.
I've already lost.
Ari is amazing. We were in the studio for over 2 hours just rambling about whatever the day he came in. He has the most
interesting perspective on things. If you want to feel like an idiot and like you're wrong about everything and the world is screwed up, you should befriend a philosophy major. but I do appreciate our friendship. Fantastic, dude. And moving on, we have Eden. Okay, so Eden Douse is here to talk to us about her major and STEM and non-STEM things. And we were just talking about the fact that she's a freshman, but she's so far ahead that she's basically a junior. So that's cool.
Yeah, well, it's actually not all that uncommon. Running start, at least in Washington, is pretty common. So it's actually kind of a meme saying, like, oh, I'm a freshman, but I've got junior standing.
Right. See, I didn't. Yeah. They didn't have running start at my school or really any of the schools in California.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. All right, well, sweet. Okay, so yeah, if you could just go over what your major is and then if you have any other minors or whatever, too.
Sure.
Totally. Yeah. In there.
Well, I am currently in the process of applying to the Law Societies and Justice major, LSJ. So it's sort of like a mix between like pre-law, sociology, and political science is like how I normally describe it to people. It's actually something that's unique to the UW, so you can't usually get that major at other schools, which is really cool.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah, cool. It's like a social science major generally. It's really interesting. I'm a big fan.
Nice. And did you kind of just decide that recently after coming here that's what you wanted to do? Or did you know you were going to go somewhere in that area?
Yeah, well, it was actually interesting. Since I did like complete an associate's degree before I came here, I was at the point coming in that I had to choose a major basically right away.
Okay.
So I actually did choose to go to UW before I knew what my major was going to be. LSJ just sort of ended up fitting in with my interests a lot. Originally, I was going to go into like political science or philosophy, but LSJ ended up actually like fitting my interest in like government and nonprofit work a lot better. So that's sort of why I ended up choosing it. It focuses on like how law affects like people's lives, which I really appreciate, while like things like political science are normally more abstract.
That's interesting because you aren't in the major, but I'm sure you have gotten, you know, a feel for what the classes are like and yes, what the program is like overall. If you, like, comparing that maybe to what some of your other friends have said or what you've heard about other majors and departments, like, what do you like about your major, like, in not being, I guess, in a STEM focus? Not that I'm trying to, like, pin them against each other, yeah, but you know what I mean?
Well, I think the big distinction for me was a lot of social science fields and my field in particular, there's no, like, right answer to questions. Mm-hmm. So with STEM classes, there's a lot of, like, you either know the answer or you don't, but there's a lot more, like, wiggle room and, like, it's open for discussion a lot more, I feel like, in social science majors, which I really, really appreciate. Like, one of the things that I think people tend to assume when you say that all the questions are, like, open-ended is that it's, like, super easy to succeed in something like that, but that's not actually true. The fact that there are so many different possible answers makes it so it's, like, kind of hard to pinpoint exactly what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a lot of clear instructions on assignments, generally speaking, and it can actually make it a lot more difficult because you have to sort of, like, think outside the box and, like, be really creative, which is both what I really love about, like, social science, but also what is a little bit frustrating about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like a lot of STEM majors, it's more about learning the specifics of like how to do a skill. I feel like a lot of STEM majors, for example, with like maths and sciences, it's a lot about like you learn the formula, you learn how to do something, and then you do it. But with things like LSJ, sociology, political science, it's more about learning a way of thinking and, like, mm-hmm, structuring your understanding of a certain topic, which I really like. And I might be mischaracterizing STEM fields. I'm not sure.
No, honestly, yeah. I mean, I can't. I'm in the same boat as you. I don't know. It's just from what I've heard, you know,
yeah,
is what I base my idea of it off of. But, no, that's super cool. I like that you said that because I do agree that it's, we don't have answers while that's what they're trained to look for.
Right.
From what I understand, again, yes. But it's also, and it does make it hard in ways that people wouldn't expect it to, But it also is, yeah, why I like it so much.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And do you feel like, I mean, yeah, you've only been here for a short time, but do you feel any sort of stigma surrounding non-STEM majors here? Have you gotten any of that?
Yeah, like a lot of that. A lot of people sort of dismiss majors that aren't STEM. So, like, a lot of the times you'll be talking to someone and they'll be like, oh, what are you majoring in? And if I say LSJ, they're like, oh, okay. So you're not that smart. You're not.
I feel that.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of, like, elitism, I think, in STEM majors. And obviously I'm not trying to speak for everybody.
Right, right.
But, yeah, it can be a little bit difficult to sort of, like, you feel like you have to, like, justify why your thing is just as hard or just as, like, academically challenging as someone else's major, which is not the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I definitely know that what I'm doing is worthwhile and challenging, it can be a little bit disheartening to have to, like, explain that to people all the time, you know? So, yeah. But then again, I don't know that UW specifically has, like, more of a stigma than, like, other schools. I think it might be more of, like, a cultural phenomena, honestly. Things like the arts, humanities, social sciences, they get put down a lot as not that important. And that's no fun.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And yeah, I do. I think it's interesting how, like you said, they kind of do get dismissed more. But I think a lot of times people forget we need to train people in all kinds of fields. Otherwise, you know, we're going to be lacking in a lot of areas. But yeah, interesting. I like everything you had to say, mainly because it resonates with me. but again, yeah, and not to, like, you know, say that every person in STEM is making us feel this way. Because I mean, obviously, I know that they're not, it's usually not intentional, but it definitely does come across that way.
Yeah.
Like, we're.
For sure. I have a lot of friends in engineering and biochem that are very, very supportive and don't, like, think that way. It's more of, like, a general cultural trend than, like, specific people, I feel like. But, yeah, it definitely is frustrating. And that's also not to say that STEM majors aren't equally as important. Like, I definitely think that we need engineers, we need scientists, but that doesn't mean we don't need all of these other things.
Yes, absolutely. Perfectly said. 100%. Cool. And I guess last major thing I wanted to ask you about was, do you ever, I mean, again, you did kind of say that you don't think it's necessarily just, you know, a UW thing, this whole cultural thing around STEM, but do you feel like maybe you wish you went to a different school to pursue that major? Do you think you'd feel differently towards it, or you'd be treated differently, or?
It's hard to say. So my major is specific to UW, so with my specific major, I couldn't go somewhere else.
Right. Okay.
But in general, with, like, if I were pursuing something like political science, there are a lot of options for schools you can go to. And I don't know if I would choose another school. I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately. I think that being in an environment that has a lot of people who study things that are very different than you gives you a better, or not a better, but, like, a very different perspective on your major. And I feel like I've grown to appreciate social sciences a lot more because there's so many people that don't study it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I chose UW for a lot of reasons unrelated to my major. I love the campus. It's beautiful. It's nearby where I live, or where I grew up, and just the city of Seattle is amazing. So there's a lot going for UW, and though this, like, cultural phenomena isn't ideal, I don't think it is, like, a deal breaker for me, honestly. There's a lot of people who are very accepting, as many as there are people who aren't as respecting of those majors. So, yeah, I don't think I would want to go to another school. Though I could see why somebody in, like, maybe a more artistic-focused degree would feel like that way. Because though I am in, like, a humanity or non-STEM major, there are definitely majors that have it way worse than me. Things like English and arts. Like, I feel
straight
like
up.
Yeah, those majors get a lot more shade than things like social sciences, because at least we have like the word science in there, so there's like a little bit of acceptance into the STEM community in a way.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that I would feel very differently if I were pursuing like musical theater or something, which was actually a major I considered for a really long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I definitely think that students majoring in those kinds of fields might feel a lot more unwelcome here than someone like me in my major.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate.
It's all good, though. It's fine. I'm used to it.
I mostly just want to say, as cheesy as it is, don't let stigmas interrupt the way you choose your major. If there's something you're studying that you're passionate about and you love to learn about, like, that's what you should be studying.
So that was Eden. I loved what she had to say because, well, it was very much representative of how I feel on a constant basis, LOL. And also because while she has formed her own ideas of what STEM is like, she doesn't pretend to know everything about it, which she obviously, you know, doesn't because, well, she isn't a STEM major. And I think a lot of people can learn from that kind of humility. Myself included. I mean, even I'm guilty of talking about things like I know my way around them when I seriously just don't sometimes. I mean, I can say that STEM is hard and has too many numbers and that I'd never be able to do it all I want, but how would I actually know unless I tried? Which I haven't and I won't because I like letters more. And that is totally okay. That's the second point I want to make today, which again was outlined in the quote that I included at the beginning of the episode from Eden, and that is that I shouldn't feel bad, and no one should feel bad or guilty even in choosing to study and pursue what they want to learn and work hard at. I mean, I like writing stories and reading them, and I also like bringing people into a soundproof room every week and interrogating them and listening to myself while I do it. And that's okay. It's just, you know, not everyone's thing. Just like physics and dissecting things isn't everyone's calling. But just because that's the case, it doesn't mean we can't all respect those interests. So, I mean, this is literally the same argument that can be used against racism and sexism, literally every other form of segregation. So, yeah, basically what I'm trying to say is let's just all accept our differences and love everyone and embrace the fact that we're all our own beautiful, awesome people. And so I can eventually feel good about my decision to pursue English. Yeah. Bet you didn't expect that out of this episode, but, you know, there it is. That's my spiel. And if you guys thought that was gooey and deep and perceptive, you better pray that my yogi, vegan, spiritual side doesn't get too rowdy and start coming out on here, because then we'd all be in for a ride. Okay, cool. Yeah, sorry. So our last interview comes from a very special guest. This is the first real adult person on the show. This is Shanae. So this is Shanae Lechtenberg. Got it. Yes. And she's the Director of Advising and Student Engagement for the College of Engineering. Awesome. And so she's going to talk to us about just the engineering major overall in line with our STEM theme. I just wanted you to kind of go over what your responsibilities are as an advisor, kind of what your everyday looks like.
Sure, absolutely. So in my role as Director of Advising and Student Engagement, I sort of supervise and coordinate the team of college advisors. So the college advisors work with primarily first and second year students, currently now in the engineering undeclared population, which is sort sort of a new population based on our new direct-to-college admission model that just launched this fall. Anyhow, so our team primarily works with the first and second-year students prior to when they actually transition to being in a department in a particular major.
Okay.
And then at that point, we do sort of a handoff where students are either admitted or placed via this new model in a engineering major, and then they start working with the advisor in that particular program.
Okay.
So in terms of, I guess, my roles and responsibilities, you know, managing that team, coordinating, but really thinking about both advising in terms of drop-in support or scheduled appointments, a lot of outreach work for students who are struggling, who are on either low scholarship or are sub 2.5 GPA in their engineering prerequisite coursework.
Okay.
That's kind of a red flag to us that something's not working very well, and so we try to do a lot of outreach there. We also do a lot in terms of planning and thinking about just like the first year experience in engineering. And this is kind of, again, a new way of thinking with this new model where we have first-year students all coming in this large cohort to the College of Engineering. So this past year, we had 950 incoming students in the College of Engineering, so a large group. And so really our team's role is to think about how to make sure those students have a robust and engaging first-year experience where they're building community, they're connected to one another, they have friends and support networks, but they're also like involved in meaningful engineering-related activities outside of classes, or involved in things that aren't directly related to engineering. You know, they're just passionate about arts or, you know, theater or whatever the case may be. But just trying to make sure students are plugged in and having community and exploring the different engineering disciplines that are available to them. So I know, as we were talking about previously, this goal of really helping students to understand what all the options are that are available to them. There's 12 different engineering majors that are
crazy.
An option on this campus.
I didn't actually know that until recently,
And so there's a lot to unpack in terms of what those 12 majors are and how a student would know what the best fit is for them. And so really our role is to help expose students to programming and events and opportunities to really explore that and make a thoughtful decision.
It would be helpful to go into what you were just talking about with the new program that you guys have implemented for the College of Engineering. I guess I wanted you to cover what you think that is achieving for the students, what was wrong with the program before, and maybe what are some of the downsides of this new program coming in, if there are any, because I've thought of a few that may... just people won't have as much time then to, you know, think about what they want to do. But I know that there are a lot of benefits, so if you could just...
So, let's see. Previously, I guess, in terms of, like, historical context in the college, students would apply to the University of Washington, and they'd be interested in engineering, perhaps, so they would select that on their application. They'd be coded as a pre-engineering student. And that coding really didn't mean anything in regards to... we've planned for space for you in classes or majors, or we think you'll be admitted to a major, anything like that. It just indicated a student's interest in a particular discipline. And so because of that, there was kind of a lack of strategic enrollment management, and so there'd be large numbers, thousands of students every fall quarter who would start with the pre-engineering designation. But in reality, the college only graduates about 1,000 students total from all of the majors. And that includes, you have to think about the community college transfer students and people who later on discover engineering and decide they want to pursue that. And so it was just totally out of whack, out of balance in terms of the incoming numbers of students and how many spaces are actually going to be available. So what that meant is that students would come here not really realizing that context, and they would take these prerequisite courses, which are really rigorous, and it would be pretty stressful because there was a lot of uncertainty about, will I be able to get in?
Right.
So they do that commonly for 2 years because the upper division admission pathway was the most common pathway for the students to be admitted. So they do that for 2 full years at the end of their second year, literally over that summer. They'd be applying and find out many of them, hundreds, that they weren't admitted. And it was really a devastating experience, and it was just a really bad student experience in general. And the college knew that for a long time, that things are not working, but it also took a long time to come up with what's the change that we could implement to improve the system. Because the real challenge, the real core of all of this is just that there are a lot of students who are really talented and really have strengths and interests related to engineering, and there's just not enough capacity capacity on this campus, and that has to do with lots of complex things. Funding from the legislature to really build more buildings. Seattle is not a cheap place to be building buildings and spaces and labs. You have to hire the faculty to fill those labs, TAs that go with them. They all need office spaces. Like, you know, engineering is a really kind of expensive education model because students need so much lab time, and it costs a lot to maintain the equipment and the facilities to do that. So anyhow, the point is that, you know, if we just could offer more spaces, ultimately, none of these things would be an issue or a factor. But given the fact we cannot keep up with the demand, and I think a lot of it also has to do with just Seattle, our location. We're in this kind of like tech hub and this kind of like STEM focused place because there are a lot of like biotech companies here and, you know, or just kind of Microsoft, and it's, you know, a lot of focus on that. Anyhow, and so I think that's what really kind of drives that demand to be so high. So, and our goal of switching to kind of a new model to improving the student experience is to give students certainty upon the time that they are admitted to the University of Washington. So now when you receive your letter, it says, you know, you've been admitted to the University of Washington, and we'd also like to offer you admission directly to the College of Engineering. And for students who applied to the UW and did select engineering on their application, but who were not offered admission to the college, they were offered to the UW, but not to the College of Engineering, it says on their letter, no, it is unlikely you will be able to pursue engineering here in the future. So really trying to bring clarity because, you know, students are making a really important decision before they come to college. And for many students, a particular major is really important to them in their college decision-making process. And so we've really worked to increase transparency and to really empower the student to make a good decision that they'll be happy with right from the outset. So now this idea that we're essentially trying to kind of right-size the college by admitting a cohort instead of like thousands of students that we kind of weren't tracking and were kind of coming in from all different places. Now we're admitting a cohort that we can really, you know, monitor and that we can reach out to and create this programming for to ensure that they'll be connected and successful, and that we've communicated a clear message to the students for whom we just didn't have space available. So I think that's one of the hardest and saddest parts about the capacity challenges is that it's not that these students who are not admitted couldn't be great engineers. Many of them could be. They are capable of doing it. It's not a reflection of, you know, oh, we don't want you here. Oh, we don't think you can do it. It's really a reflection of the space and the resource issues that exist on this campus.
And that totally makes sense. And then I was wondering, for the specializations, then do they just declare what specialization they want after a certain amount of time, or do they then have to apply to those specific areas?
That's a great question. So a big part, again, of working to make some of these shifts in the college is also changing the culture of the college, because I think prior to direct-to-college admission, the culture in the college has been really competitive and cutthroat and really not a very supportive culture. And in reality, engineering is, we always say engineering is a team sport. It's a very collaborative kind of process in the working world. And so we'd like to mirror that in students' experience at the UW. And we want students to be healthy, mentally healthy, physically healthy, to feel supported, to be having a good experience. And so we really don't want a culture where students feel like they're out to get one another or something to be successful. So in this new model, everybody knows that they are guaranteed an engineering major. When they're admitted directly to the college, they're guaranteed an engineering major. They're not necessarily guaranteed a first choice engineering major. So a big part of kind of this model is being open and being flexible about kind of what engineering degree might help you achieve your ultimate sort of engineering pathways or goals. So students will progress throughout the first year taking a relatively similar set of placement requirements. So they'll take English composition, calculus, generally some chem, some physics, maybe a CS course here and there, or a stats course, something like that. And then at the end of their first year, they have an opportunity to request placement. So no more applying. They go through this process where they can request placement into a major, and they will then be holistically reviewed in that sort of placement process to determine whether or not the department that they have ranked will be able to accommodate them at that particular time. So kind of what I'm anticipating is that, and you know, this is the first time we've done all of these things. Everything we're doing this year is kind of a new approach and a big shift, but all I think in really positive directions. Anyhow, and so I think many students may request one major at the end of their first year because they just have one thing in mind that they're really interested in initially. But as they take more time to explore, if they're not able to be placed this summer, they'll have another opportunity midway through their sophomore year. And at that point, I think many students will request a more expanded list of options so that they will guarantee placement. You know, they'll have kind of an academic home going forward. But it's meant to be, you know, it's not going to be a GPA-oriented process the way that the old application model was. It's really looking at students' involvement. A resume is a component of placement now. And so it's really encouraging students, again, to, like, get involved and to do things that are meaningful with their time. And, and looking at kind of grade trends over time and rigor of courses and not this is your GPA and this thing and therefore you're in or not.
Yeah.
Really shifting that culture.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering also, will this change of program improve the class size situation? I mean, I know a lot of students have a hard time getting into the classes that they need to take. So do you think that by, you know, telling students right away, you know, you're not directly admitted, so maybe don't pursue this, do you think that'll lessen the stress of making it in?
That's an interesting question because I think that I'm sorry, just thinking. I guess I think that yes, in some ways, as we work towards like right sizing the college, I think that will have an impact. I also think that despite the clarity that we're offering students right from the outset, many students still want the UW and Husky experience. And so, you know, I think many of them choose to come here. I mean, that's at least what we saw this last year, is that many chose to come here. We'll see what happens for this next year. I think also as it gets to be more a part of kind of the culture and just like the norm, like direct to college does, then I think it will hopefully help students to make more and more intentional decisions going forward about whether or not the UW is the best fit. But also many of the classes that our students are required to take are students that many classes that many students from other majors are also required to take. Calculus is a requirement for lots of different things. Mm-hmm. And so I really think the issue of class capacity is a UW issue.
Yeah.
And I think about this a lot, in terms of, there's some challenges, there's some disconnects at such a large institution of what's happening in the Office of Admissions sometimes and kind of what those numbers are and, you know, how that may impact particular departments and really making sure that everybody's sort of on the same page and can plan to accommodate for the numbers of students is really challenging.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I feel like if you have more ideas on what about the engineering program is rigorous compared to others?
I think that I definitely think the engineering degree programs here are quite rigorous. However, I'm a big believer that all majors on this campus are rigorous.
Yes.
You know, that the UW is a rigorous place and that the quality of education students are getting here, no matter what they're pursuing, is very high and demanding and intellectually stimulating. And I really push back on the notion that people have that math is harder than psychology or something. And really, I think what's important is to encourage students to really reflect actually on their strengths and something that's easy for them, you know, maybe a reflection of their strengths or interests, and not that an entire discipline is easy or hard.
Yes.
I think it really depends on the individual student and their learning style and preferences and what they're really motivated to study. I found that to be a key factor in terms of success because I think also engineering can sometimes get sort of a bad rap that, you know, parents are really pushing students to pursue that path. And I think sometimes that does happen. However, that often shows up in the grades because if a student's not really motivated, you know, they're not maybe going to be as successful. I think that, you know, when you found sort of your best fit major or program of study, ideally sort of everything's clicking. Like you're enjoying it, you're building community within the program or the major, and your grades reflect that too because you're really intrigued by the learning that's happening. But if you don't want to spend 30 hours a week studying calculus, then, you know, and that's not exciting or interesting to you, then, you know, it may not be the best fit. So I really, yeah, I really disagree, I guess, with this notion of sort of what's more rigorous or not. And I really think it's about a student reflecting on their own experience and interaction with a particular program or class. In general, though, I mean, I do think that the UW model can be challenging for some students in terms of just kind of like learning style, pedagogical approach, large classroom experience. It's a huge shift from high school, and now they don't have a teacher who maybe knows their name or right. notices when they're not there. And so I think that dynamic, particularly in classes that are heavily exam-based, and so that can trigger a lot of anxiety sometimes, yes. you know, that my whole grade is writing on these particular exams, and my professor doesn't, you know, have that connection with me. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that dynamic is really challenging. But again, I think that's a dynamic that exists across the university yeah. for the entry-level, you know, first exactly. year and second year kinds of classes. And so I do think that makes it a challenging experience at times for students. But I think we've really done a good job, you know, in building out resources on campus to try to really support students depending on where they are. Recently, the Academic Success or Academic Support Program, rather, ASP, that puts on Clue, you know, provides the Clue service, mm-hmm. built out the Academic Success Coach Program, which I'm not sure if very many students are aware of, but they are primarily graduate students, but some upperclassmen as well who are undergrads, who they have selected and trained, who can meet one-on-one with students to talk about, like, their study approach and look at their syllabus with them and talk about how to take notes better and how to more effectively and efficiently really learn and absorb course material. And so the UW has really tried, I think, to provide a good degree of support still, despite some of the class dynamics that can be challenging.
So that was Shanae. She and everyone else who came on for this episode had so much more to say that I wish I could have put on here, but I can only include so much, unfortunately. But anyway, more on Shanae. I loved speaking with her. Just in our hour or so together, I could tell she has such a big heart, and it's really nice to know that we have people working at this institution who genuinely care for the students and have our best interests at heart. Also, I wanted to note that this change in admissions that her and I talked about is so incredible and very much necessary. This is a new thing, and if you go to the UW, you know that getting into majors is one of the most just ominous aspects of this campus. So I think the fact that the most competitive majors are working to eliminate the extra stress from students' college experiences is astounding and very much needed. Anyway, so, God, I don't know how I get the most amazing guests on here. I seriously mean that. I mean, I've said this to almost everyone who's come on the show, but seriously, the people speaking with me here are so intelligent and just wise and well articulated. It makes me feel like an idiot in, you know, the best sort of way. But yes, super grateful. And anyway, yeah, that's it for today. Super happy to be here. Super happy to have talked to everyone. I have learned so much already in my short time doing this podcast, and I can't wait to hear more from the people in this community and learn even more. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to Dog Tales. And I hope you all come back 2 Tuesdays from now to hear the next episode, which will be on social life at the UW. I'm super excited for that. Thank you guys so much. Happy Tuesday.